What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is March 19th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing there, Mark?
I'm excited, man. We got a good show. We're talking about a real area of expertise here today, perverts. A lot of sex scandals going on around the country. We're going to talk about a few of them. A couple things. Trump's apparently dead broke. He can't pay his bond. So
that's what I heard.
New York AG might be able to start seizing his assets starting next week, although I doubt that happens.
He's also sell more of them cards, buddy. More than six-pack digital cards he's got.
Yeah, sneakers.
More shoes.
Yeah, $450 million worth. But he's also seems like he's successfully played all his criminal trials till after the election. So good for him. The guy can't lose, man. Elon Musk sat down for an interview with Don Lemon where he was asked to talk about a lot of shit, but he also said that his ketamine use is good for Tesla investors, which I agree. It might even save the company if it kills him. there's a new report out, like the sentencing, to lead up to the sentencing to Sam Bankman-Fried. Prosecutors said they got a hold of some documents he had on Google Drive where he was saying that, like, one of the PR strategies he considered after FTX collapsed was to go on Tucker Carlson, come out as Republican, and come out against the woke agenda.
Yeah.
Which is like
good move.
Which is funny because the guys like Tucker thought that SBF would never even be prosecuted because he was a Democratic donor.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it's a good comment. Dude, people have used that PR move before. Not in that exact situation, but a lot of people pointed out, like, when Russell Brand, right, before he had all his sex pest stuff come out, or when it came out, people like noticed. They're like, it's convenient that right before all this shit came out, he pivoted to pandering to the exact demographic that would not care about this type of thing, you know. So it's like, it's kind of a proven I say it's a proven strategy. I don't know how Russell Brand is doing it. I don't care. But yeah, it's definitely a thing on the PR list of options. Just pivot to them. They don't give a fuck about nothing.
Some other fun news. Northrop Grumman, the defense contractor, said that they were chosen by DARPA to further develop the concept of building a moon-based railroad network that would transport human supplies and resources for commercial ventures on the moon.
Hell yeah.
Can we get a train to fucking San Francisco? Yes. Can we get a train up and down the I-35 corridor from Minneapolis to San Antonio? Like, what the fuck is
Well, it's weird. I'm such a mark for space shit or whatever that, like, a lot of times this stuff comes up. It's like, we got problems here. We fix these problems here, which I generally agree with. But any type of, like, wild space shit, I'm always kind of on board with it, because I just want to live in a world where that stuff happens. I just can't help it. Like, I want us to be on the moon. I want there to be trains on the moon. Love the idea of that.
In general, yes, I disagree with the concept that we can't do space exploration until every problem on Earth is solved. But we're talking about literal trains.
Right.
We can't get trains on Earth. Right. You know, it'd be like we had universal basic income on the moon. It'd be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Yeah.
Yes. There's no reason to believe that they can actually achieve that. Do you know what I mean? That's what makes it like it's just a silly thought experiment or whatever. But if it was like practical and rational and possible, like I said, trains on the moon, fucking sign me up. I mean, I ain't going up there, but I'd like to think, hey, there's trains on the moon. I don't know.
DARPA is the military research program that like tries to do stuff like weather control machines and shit, like the men who stare at goat stuff.
Yes, they got kill bots and all that stuff, presumably.
Right.
They're wild. Yeah.
The Intercept had a report yesterday where they have a program to build, like, it sounds like they're trying to make mech suits or whatever for soldiers, but the program's called Carcosa, which is the name of the pedophile ritual place from the first season of True Detective. I was like, in the environment we're working in right now, can you not name your fairly normal insane weapons research project after a pedophile ring, please?
Yes. I'm with you on that. That's another good example of, like, my sci-fi nerdness fucks me up sometimes, because my genuine initial reaction to, like, DARPA's developing mech suits is fucking A. Hell yeah. God, I've been waiting on that. And it's like, you know, it would be like RoboCop, you know what I mean? Fucking stop resisting, whatever. Then fucking civilians get mowed down by a fucking death robot or whatever. That's what would really happen. But still, when you say, like, hey, we're working on mech suits, I'm like, right on. Just because I think they're cool. I can't help it. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, man. We all play G.I. Joes. So we're kind of talking about the GOP's, let's call it candidate talent level recruitment problems they have today. So the guy is probably going to be the nominee in for Pennsylvania Senate is David McCormick, who also ran in 22 but lost to Dr. Oz in the primary. His wife's Dina Powell, who worked for the Trump administration. McCormick's like a former Army guy who made a few billion in like doing investment hedge fund bullshit. Anyway, I want to read a couple quotes from him today. Just like one of the most hilarious guys we got running. Remember how Dr. Oz didn't live in Pennsylvania? Yes. It was kind of a thing. Okay, well, mm-hmm. McCormick also kind of doesn't live in Pennsylvania. So the lead of the story, as McCormick launched his 67-county campaign bus tour on Saturday afternoon in Lititz, he told supporters gathered he was going to live on the bus through November. He flew back to Connecticut later that evening.
Yeah. If I live on my campaign bus, which is touring Pennsylvania exclusively, that counts as being a Pennsylvania citizen, right? And they're like, yeah, that does count. And he's like, all right, see ya. And then goes back to Connecticut. I'll leave my body double here or an intern or whatever.
It's the real Poochie died on the way back to his home planet type vibes going on. Yeah. He was having another like a coffee drinking event with veterans in Palmerton. And a former Marine brought up the high cost of gas, and McCormick sort of nodded, trying to empathize and go, Dina, talking about his wife. Dina's on the board of Exxon.
Yeah. We get it. You know.
All right. Before we talk about some pervert candidates, let's talk about one of the OG perverts in MAGA world. Paul Manafort is in talks to join Trump's 2024 campaign team. We don't have to go through the whole litany of stuff, but remember he was convicted of tax and bank fraud felonies as part of the Mueller investigation before Trump pardoned him. He was also the guy who was sharing data with Russian operatives, yada, yada, yada. But the thing nobody remembers is also like a weird pervert. Like a bunch of his daughter's text messages got leaked after he got caught up in all these investigations. And they were talking about how like they hated him, not just because he took blood money from evil people overseas, but because he apparently pressured his wife into having sex with other men while he washed, and she caught some STDs from it. And I'm like, how is that not disqualifying from public life anymore?
Yeah, I'm always surprised when it, like I reading through this before, whatever, I was like, yeah, I totally didn't remember that. And it's like, it's sort of like the Trump strategy of just like an avalanche of bullshit and you can't keep up with it all. But you would think, especially in the fucking, you know, the morality police side of things, that type of thing would be a bigger deal. But it's always them, dude. I guess it's just like the culture of repression or something. I don't know. But like we're going to have multiple more examples of this as we go through this show. But it's always them who are, you know, trying to keep everybody repressed sexually while still doing the wildest shit there is to do.
Yeah. I mean, what's the name? Like the guy in Florida, Roger, Trump guy, Roger Stone. Roger Stone. Yeah. Roger Stone's also a cuck, right? He also likes to watch his wife have sex with other men. It's like, but this is the campaign that pushed cuck as an insult into the mainstream consciousness.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's one of those things. It's like, you know, we're the ones that say don't kink shame and shit, you know, or whatever, but it's just like when there's a hardcore anti-LGBT Republican who gets caught, you know, blowing dudes in a bathroom or whatever. It's like, we're not ragging on the guy for blowing dudes. It's the context of it. It's everything else about it. It's the hypocrisy, you know? And yeah, it's the same thing here.
Hypocrisy doesn't exist in 2024, I guess. But like, my thing is like, I don't care that if him and his wife are into her having sex with other guys while he watches, fine. The problem is she didn't want to do it.
Right.
Got another weirdo candidate problem the GOP has. The nominee to run for North Carolina's public schools, everyone's name, Michelle Marrow. Turns out they fucked up and realized after she got nominated that she spent a bunch of time on the internet calling for top Democrats to be executed, including Biden and Obama. Mm-hmm. And she tried to come out and say, people are tired of the dysfunctional media trying to create gotcha moments out of old comments taken out of context, made in jest or never made in the first place. Now, I'm open to the idea that a death threat can be a joke because I've made plenty of those.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
But this, Matt, throw this up here if you got it. This is not a joke to me. Who wants to see Obama tossed into Gitmo for treason? Her reply, I prefer a pay-per-view of him in front of the firing squad. Not what to waste another dime on supporting his life. We could make some money back from supporting his death. Where's the joke, Michelle?
That's what I was about to say. All the time this comes up, they're like, oh, it's out of context. It was a joke. I was kidding. And it's like, where's the punchline in that? Like, what is supposed to be funny about that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying I'm a full blown expert, but this is our purview, I think, humor. And there is a difference. Like sometimes people, you know, you do sarcastically make a reference to somebody killing themselves or whatever. I remember what in one of my videos, I said something about, I hope Trump dies in a horrible hairspray accident, right? Or something like that. Like that's clearly, there's humor involved, but this is just like, I want him to be executed. Isn't that funny, everybody? Or whatever. I get like it's, you know, but I mean, they also fundamentally do not understand humor or comedy anyway. So I guess I can kind of believe that they think it counts as a joke somehow. But yeah.
Turns out they also, someone else Republicans discovered after they nominated her. It turns out she's a QAnon lady. So that tracks.
Bonus.
But I guess this kind of thing, like these kind of candidates, what you get when this is your avatar. This is a photo of Trump at a rally that last week where he autographed a photo of Laken Riley, the 22-year-old woman who was murdered in Georgia. And he autographed it and then spelled her name wrong. It's not big enough for you to see, but he spelled it L-A-K-A-N. And he's grinning like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
It's just way bit so off-putting.
He just can't, you know, he's like, his whole thing is like, yeah, I'm crushing it here. Look at this. Acknowledging this thing. Isn't everything great? So like, of course he smiles. He doesn't, you know, have the capacity to understand different like emotional contexts and situations and things like that. But
for what it's worth, her dad gave an interview last week where he's like, can politicians please stop talking about my daughter?
And doesn't, it's not gonna affect anything. Of course. Well, it's the world we live in. All right, let's get into it. Producer Matt is with us doing his thing. As always, this is Weekly Skews. I want to remind y'all before we continue of a couple of things. First, if you'd like to see me do stand-up comedy live in the flesh, and you should, go to treycrowder.com. My next shows are in Vancouver and Seattle in April. Got a little bit of time off. Don't know what to do with myself over here, but I'm looking forward to those. It'll be fun. Then after that, we got Oklahoma City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Richmond, Virginia Beach, bunch of places coming up in the near future. So go to treycrowder.com, check it out, come see me. Also on treycrowder.com, there's a link to me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, a comedic travel guide. It's a fun time, so check that out. And lastly, if you enjoy this here program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You can go to weeklyskews.com/more. Or just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. The one we just did last week was about the whole TikTok debacle, the TikTokle, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we cover things we don't have time to get to in the main show. We, you know, expand our reach a little bit. It's a lot of fun. Two full-length shows a month, and you get to support the show in the process. So consider it. Sign up, get some more skews in your life, and support the show in the process. We would appreciate it. Now, as for the show tonight, there's a GOP primary happening in Ohio right now, and the implications there are somewhat alarming as the candidates seem to be all a little bit lunatic-y. Yeah, imagine you're surprised, but we'll break down exactly the level of dipshittery going on in Ohio a little bit later. But before that, we begin with, of course, the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please.
Matt's dead.
Matt. It's a fundamentally silly thing we're doing here.
I forget about it, and then
me too, every time.
We did ask for this. We told Matt we wanted a sillier sound because the underlying thing sounded too like dystopia, and we tried to be silly here, and it just put a fart on it.
Like
it
was, and also, I mean, you know, asses do fart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're talking Daily Dumbass.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, sure, I do. I'm not saying it don't work, but I also always forget about it, and then it happens, and we come back, and I'm just sitting there like, this is what we do here. All right, so
Matt's producing chess, not checkers. Yeah.
So, tonight's DD, anyone who thinks they could guess in a million years what this congressional candidate needs a, quote, outpouring of support for, watch this.
It's Thursday, March 14th, and I'm just so thankful for the outpouring of support that we've received. I've never been more motivated than I am today. We're just getting started, and we won't stop fighting for we the people. We will win.
All right.
That's Nevada's Elizabeth. How do you say that, Mark? Helgeling?
Helgeling,
yeah.
She's running for the Nevada's 3rd Congressional District. So basically what had happened here is her ex-mother-in-law wrote an op-ed in a paper in Nevada that said, the mother-in-law's name, Christine Halseth, Elizabeth raised a murderer, was forced out of office after a series of sex scandals, was caught in a series of lies, posed for lewd photographs, and has already proven to be unelectable. All right. A lot going on here. Raised a murderer, like, wait, what? Yes. All right. So she raised a murderer in the sense that Elizabeth's daughter killed her ex-husband, this woman's son. All
right. Which was her, which was the daughter's dad, right? Like, not stepdad, right?
Right. Yes. Right.
Her daughter killed her dad. Her and her boyfriend did.
Yeah. So Helgeline's one of seven Republican candidates in the primary fighting to take on the incumbent. There's a Democrat named Susie Lee. It's a kind of a toss-up district. Lee won the last election 52-48. So it should be winnable for Republicans, except this lady's one of the top two candidates, it looks like. So to recap what's going on here. So she was a Republican member of the Nevada State Senate from November 2010 until 2012. You're like, well, that seems like a short political career. What happened? Well, she got caught cheating on her husband with her husband's, the guy who was making her husband's website. her husband was named Daniel. He found out from some sort of political rival or someone in also involved in Nevada politics, sent him some opposition research. I guess they had proof or photographs of Elizabeth fucking around with this guy. He found out while the guy was over at their house. Now, there are no real heroes in this story outside of maybe the mother-in-law. So Daniel apparently, upon finding out that his wife was fucking his ostensible employee or business partner or whatever, like confronted the two of them while they were together, was charged criminally for allegedly pulling her pants down and demanding that she fuck the other guy in front of him so he could see what he was up against.
What the fuck, dude? Always something with these people.
Yeah. By the way, in May of 2012, after she resigned from the Senate, she appeared in Maxim's Hot 100 photo contest in a bikini. And the only reason to note this, because if she wins, she'll be, by my count, at least the second sitting member of Congress who's MAGA and also posed in Maxim.
Have they ever, not to be crass here, I'm just genuinely asking, like, have they, MAGA, Republicans, whatever, have they ever elected a not Maxim-y type woman? Have they ever elected a woman to office who they couldn't envision holding a casserole on the cover of a Life magazine? Do you know what I mean? Like that type of, like, have they ever done that? that you can think of? Well, there's Kay Ivey in Alabama. There's Kay Ivey. Yeah. She's a mammal, you know, so they got mammals is another class that they're okay with.
I don't want to speculate on like rank mega women by which ones would qualify for Maxim. It feels like I might get in trouble for that. But like, there are plenty of like,
Republican they just seem to be most of the like, high profile MAGA women that I can think of seem to have that type of thing going on. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's important. Like, if they don't want to sort of shove their head into a pillow or whatever, then they're not gonna line up to vote for them. That's the only way you can succeed as a woman in MAGA world. I feel like that and being a doormat.
Look, you're asking me to like call. Like, I personally, she does CrossFit and stuff, but I personally do not want to see Marjorie Taylor Greene in a bikini. So that's like that's just my personal. Her and Daniel divorced. She got custody of the kids somehow. One of them was named Sierra, who was eventually 16 years old and had an 18-year-old boyfriend. I guess Daniel tried to break them up. So they tried to run off out of state and they got arrested because Daniel filed a complaint, I guess. And so they stabbed him more than 70 times, then tried to cut up and torch his body. A lot of fucked up shit going on here. And my thing about Elizabeth and her new last name, Helgeline, is like, beyond her politics, think about what you're putting your family through. She's a sociopath of running again. Like, go get another job. Like, she did try after she left and moved to Alaska, did real estate and failed at that and came back and is doing this now, I think. So like, it's just like, I guess instead of getting a real job, she's doing this and embarrassing her kids and putting all this back in the newspaper again. So yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what to say about it either, because it's one of those things where it's like, as a parent, I not literally lose sleep, but I worry a lot about like just the whole bad seed idea. I don't have that issue with either of my sons, but like there are stories about like people who do their best and their kids are still just monsters. Like that does, I guess there's examples of that happening, and I live in fear of that. And again, I think it seems like I'm doing pretty okay as far as that goes, but like that is possible, I suppose. Uh-huh. But it's also like, it seems I feel like 90% of the time that's not the case. And there are other, like if dude, you've got fucking stab your dad 70 times and cut him up into pieces, there's some shit going on at home, I feel like. And maybe it was mostly the dad, maybe it wasn't mostly her, whatever. But like you said, the fact that she's willing to get back into politics now, it just feels like there could be better candidates than someone who's got that type of shit going on, especially when like the whole thing with the fucking the husband's best friend and then the cucking and all this other there, that's just a lot of red flags, man. And it's like you would think there would be a higher standard for this level of public office, you know, but yeah, they don't care as long as you smile and say the right things, the right hateful things, they're okay with it.
Yeah. And the daughter did, after she was arrested for the murder, she said her dad had abused her, but she never claimed that any other time before she's trying to get off from murder. So it sounds like a fucked up family, but yeah, sometimes kids can be hellions as teenagers and turn it around. Like I have a relative who ran away from home 15 times and dropped out of high school, and then later on went back and got his GED, his college degree, his master's degree, and now he has a nice white collar job. It does happen.
Right. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, not if you perforate a family member 70 times and then right. chop them into pieces. But it's a little bit different than running away from home every now and then. But anyway, our honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is people who didn't think a MAGA governor could turn having teeth into a grift. This is Matt's homeland, South Dakota, their governor, Kristi Noem.
Well, hi, I'm Kristi Noem. I'm the governor of South Dakota and had the opportunity to come to Smile, Texas to fix my teeth, which has been absolutely amazing. For years, I have needed to have an adjustment to my teeth from a biking accident, and they have been absolutely phenomenal. Years ago.
So
that's a five-minute video. Just so
5 minute video.
5 minute video of her extolling the virtues of Smile, Texas's dental program as the governor of South Dakota.
Right. Smile, Texas is in Houston, by the way. And one thing you'll notice about that obvious ad is it doesn't say ad anywhere on it, which is a violation of federal law. you got to put a hashtag ad somewhere in there if you're paid. So once it was posted, everyone's like, wait, what the fuck? Why is the governor of South Dakota shilling for an out-of-state private cosmetic dentist practice on her official X feed or whatever? It's like, so a bunch of people had questions about this. This is like a bunch of weird, small controversies and scandals in it. Like one of her big campaigns, like PSA campaigns, the government recruitment things, has been to try to get people to come recruit and live in South Dakota, including trying to get dental hygienists to come there. And then she said, basically put out a 5 minute ad that says, you could move here as long as your grill ain't busted because we ain't got a place that can fix it. Right.
I guess it sort of makes sense. She's like, yeah, I've been trying to get teeth people to come here, but they won't. We ain't got no teeth people, so I had to go to Texas. But that's different than encouraging other people to, you know, go to Texas for teeth stuff.
So she says she broke her front teeth in a bike accident, which, like, my front two teeth are fake. I got elbow in the face playing basketball when I was like in my 20s, and I had to get them fixed. So like that, I empathize with a you know, super athletic tent. So, but like, besides the bike accident, there might be another reason that Kristi Noem needs to get her teeth fixed. And I'll let her tell it to you right here from this PSA she filmed a couple years ago.
Love this. Make sure you stick around to the end of this, by the way. God damn it, Matt. It's all right.
Matt, the video, Matt. The video.
The video.
The video. Never mind. It's a video. It's a video with a famous PSA they made. It's too late, Matt. You messed it up. Where she talks about meth Dakota. South Dakota has a horrible meth problem. And it's announcement of a new campaign called South Dakota : meth. We're on it.
Yeah. Put the picture back up there, Matt. Because that's, yeah. So the PSA, it's talking about the horrors of meth and everything. And then it's all very serious and whatever. And then it ends with this picture, which just absolutely kills me. Honestly, like, if that was the silhouette of Tennessee, like I would kind of want that t-shirt unironically. Yeah. Because I think it's funny, but that's just like, it just kills me, dude. Meth, we're on it. Like how many like committees and shit do you think that had to go through? Do you know what I mean? Or how many different people like signed off on like, yep, this is it. You know, maybe there were a couple people involved along the way who were, you know, hip to it and thought it was funny. I don't know. Maybe, but like, that's it's something else, dude.
Whatever consultant got paid like $250,000 to like.
Right.
Cheers to you about it. So reporter Olivia Nuzzi, she reached out to try to figure out what was going on here. This whole wing of people just resist any idea of accountability or honesty. It's kind of crazy to me. Not just Kristi Noem's office didn't respond to requests for comment, whether she's moonlighting, quoting, or moonlighting as a cosmetic dentistry influencer. But the dentist who owns Smile Texas said it would be a HIPAA violation to disclose if Noem was compensated for appearance in the advertisement. It is not a fucking HIPAA violation to say if you paid someone to be an influencer for you.
Right.
That is not any law. You're just fucking lying. Lying ass dentists are liars, man. I'm sticking.
Also, man, I'm sorry, but like, why else would she do it? Like, there's some kind of quid pro quo here, whether it's just straight up financial compensation or something, but like, a fucking sitting governor would make a 5-minute video jerking off a private practice or a corporation or any of that. Like
seven states no away reason. Or whatever. Yeah.
Like they're like, of course she was, there's something else going. It's not just like, yeah, I mean, it should go without saying, but you know,
so the fallout from this, like a couple, like a state senator is calling for an investigation into this because if she took a state plane or a private plane to fly to Texas to get free dental care and a couple thousand dollars to post this ad, that's kind of a misuse and misappropriation of public resources.
Sure.
She's also already been hit with a lawsuit. Travels United, a consumer advocacy group, filed a lawsuit saying about, you know, the fact that it wasn't announced as an ad. Accused the governor of violating the Federal Trade Commission requirement. The social post disclosed whether or not they're advertisements. And it's pretty funny from the lawsuit. Governor Kristi Noem is a governor of South Dakota for a living, but seems to have taken up work as a social media influencer as of March 12, 2024. So yeah, this is just an insanely stupid thing. And we brought up Marjorie Taylor Greene a minute ago. I just wanted to briefly touch on what she spent today doing. She had a hearing in D.C. about black market abortion organs. I don't know. But anyway, she said this there at this thing. If you have the video, Matt.
Certainly, we will pray for them. It shouldn't be that way. And we will repeal the FACE Act if we can get our opportunity. I know each of us definitely would. Let's switch.
All right. So certainly the FACE Act, FACE Act is the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. So it makes it a federal crime to use force, the threat of force, or physical obstruction to prevent individuals from getting reproductive health care services. So it makes it illegal to, like, you know, threaten to murder people who are going into a woman's clinic.
So it's like she's not happy. It's not enough to go down there in an abortion clinic and call all these, you know, poor women whores and stuff on their way in. It's not enough to do that. She's like, no, we need to repeal the law that prevents us from physically accosting them or threatening their life. Like, it would be better if we could do that. It's a shame we can't do that anymore.
As a regular person, like, I'd forgotten this is illegal because it would never come up in the course of any sane person's life.
Right.
I know speeding's illegal because I want to go fast. I would never, like, how the fuck do you stand up nights being like, oh man, I wish I could point a gun at that doctor.
Right.
But I can't.
Right.
I gotta change the law. Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Let's talk about Ohio. You want to?
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, so today's election day for various things in Illinois and Ohio. Polls closed at 4:30 in Ohio. I'm going to hold off and check on the results till we get to as a retreat to the end to see if this rat fucking campaign we're about to talk about worked. So there are three candidates basically in Ohio Senate vying to take on Sherrod Brown, who's the incumbent Democrat. There's Matt Dolan, whose family owns the Cleveland Guardians baseball team, formerly known as the Indians. He's like a fairly normal Republican by 2024 standards. Like, he ran in 22, but had to drop out if he refused to say the 2020 election was stolen.
See, like that, and I don't know. I'm sure I disagree on almost everything with this guy, and I'm sure he also don't hit for me. He's a fucking, you know, Nepo baby and all that shit. But, like, this is a prime example of what Republicans used to be. Do you know what I mean? Like even 10, 20 years ago or whatever. It's like the guy whose family owns the Cleveland Indians and he just wants to not tax his papaw anymore and whatever else. And also secretly think, or, you know, thinks gay people shouldn't get married and all that stuff. But isn't a full-blown public lunatic who doesn't believe in the fabric of reality, right? Like that guy would have been a shoo-in, but this is what we're dealing with now. This is like a good, it's like a good snapshot or microcosm of the devolution of the Republican Party, I think, is the Ohio primary here.
That's sort of the stakes in this race, is like whether it's MAGA versus everybody, because like Trump, this guy is supported by like, sorry, talking about Dolan. He's supported by Mike DeWine, who's Republican governor of Ohio, and another Rob Portman, who are, you know, like you said, the old school Republicans, who are like Mr. Burns from the Simpsons TV series, who like wanted to dump nuclear waste in a river and have tax cuts.
Right. But
the new ones are like Mr. Burns from the Simpsons movie, who wanted to blot out the sun.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So, another candidate's Frank LaRose, who's just like just a party guy who just wants to be more powerful. He's the Secretary of State. He's a self-proclaimed Trump supporter, but nobody believes him. He's the guy we talked about who led the effort to change the state constitution to make it harder to make it easier to outlaw abortion. And the main guy we're talking about is Bernie Moreno, who's a Colombian immigrant. We talked about him before. He's the one who got the Trump endorsement. He owns car dealerships, calls himself an evangelist for crypto technology, which is, of course, he also ran for Senate as a MAGA right winger in 2022, but he dropped out of the race to clear the path for J.D. Vance. And he's the guy we talked about recently who said that the right's answer to abortion should be like the nice guy on the airplane who helped his pregnant daughter with her luggage. Remember him?
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember. I do remember us talking about that, but I don't remember what his ultimate take or stance was. Like somehow the answer to abortion was being nice to ladies or being nice to pregnant ladies. Like, if they're pregnant, just be nice to them and then they won't want to have an abortion. Is that?
Yeah. Is that well, make it easier to become a mother, which I get, but that's like that helping with luggage on an airplane is like the smallest version of that. Like maternity leave and childcare would be like much.
Yeah. No,
that costs money though.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So Trump had a rally for to try to save Bernie Moreno's candidacy over the weekend. And here's Trump announcing how much he loves, once again, I need to emphasize this, a guy named Bernie Moreno.
We're going to take that victory and we're going to add to it with Bernie Moreno, who's a fantastic
guy. All right. So... this is the speech Trump gave over the weekend where he used the word bloodbath, which is what everyone's been talking about for like four or 5 days. I'm not super interested in that. It seems like a debate over semantics, and it's like whatever. We know Trump's a bloodthirsty psycho. I don't care what the context of the word, whether he's talking about car dealerships or whatever. So, as far as Moreno himself, he definitely was the favorite, and we're gonna get to why he might not be anymore in a second. But here's him just pretending to be stupider than he is, which is kind of his whole thing recently.
You get to heaven. Imagine what that's like, what that feels like. And imagine who you get to meet. You get to meet the 55 people that signed our Declaration of Independence. You get to meet James Madison, Abraham Lincoln, John Jay, Alex.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln was born in 1809.
Right. So, wait, are you saying you don't buy that he, like, you think that was calculated? You say he pretends to be dumber than he is. Like he?
No,
like,
I think that was a slip of the tongue.
To pretend to be this dumb because it plays. Like he knows Abraham Lincoln wasn't there, and
he's changed his whole personality. And we're going to get there in a few minutes. But like he's sold with a little bit of a soul he had to do this for reasons I don't even understand. But like we'll get there in a second. But I think that was a slip of the tongue. He meant to like say like. You meet the people, 55 people who signed the Declaration of Independence, like James Madison, comma, plus also Abraham Lincoln. I think that was probably what he intended to say, but he fucked it up.
Sure. Also, this is apropos of nothing, but I just can't help but notice it on this clip we're showing here. This is sponsored. This clip we watched was sponsored by PrepperBeef.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These are steaks that last 25 years. Is that what this is? That's what it looks like. Like, when the apocalypse comes and you're in your bunker, when the liberals destroy the entire world and everything in it, you can still have a nice New York strip steak, U.S. Prime. You can eat that 20 years from now. Is that how that's supposed to work? Is that not just like jerky or something? I know you don't know. I'm just kind of fascinated by this. I sort of want to look up prepper beef now because I'm just like, how do you? Now you have steaks you can keep for 25 steak bunker steaks. It's like it's funny that like they're luxurizing. They're making it more luxurious, the bunker life, because like that's who their people are. Do you know what I mean? Like, but the prepper people, people that live in a bunker, they're trying to like cater to them with quality of life improvements like steaks and stuff like that. That's just kind of inherently funny to me. Anyway,
I'm just very confused about the right wing economy because like CBS is having trouble staying in business running advertisements for like Lexus and Big Pharma, but they can stay in business running ads for prepper
food. Tell me about, dude, I think that all the time. Sometimes I'll turn on like daytime right-wing television or something like that to watch. It's not just right-wing television, frankly. It's also like ESPN in the daytime or whatever, but I'll turn on sometimes to see what they're talking about to try to get ideas for shit to make a video about or something. And yes, it's all like, fucking wristbands that cure cancer or whatever and like super powered socks and shit like that. Just like the most niche shit that you know, like, right. Like you said, it's like Lexus commercials can't keep the networks afloat, but this is working for y'all. There's so much, but I'm constantly confounded by money and how it works, especially at these levels. But yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. So, trying to save Bernie's ass, Trump went directly after Dolan, and the most obvious layup of a fucking pandering. This feels like everything they do feels like from 10 years ago, but you can go ahead and play it.
Okay. Nice and loud. Now who wants to keep it? The Cleveland Indians. That wasn't too tough, right?
All right. So we're talking about he's trying to save Bernie's ass. Save Bernie's ass for what? Okay, so this rat fucking thing happened over the late last week. The Associated Press put out a story saying that there was a rumor floating, not really a rumor because everyone knew it, but everyone was afraid to print it or to say it out loud or put it in a campaign ad for fear of looking like, I don't know, an out of touch bigot, I guess. But so there's an email address associated with Bernie Moreno that back in 2008 signed up for an account on Adult Friend Finder, which is a sex and swinger site, looking for, hi, looking for young guys to have fun with while traveling. The account said he was in Florida, and the username was Nardo19672, which is going to be an important element of this for a second. And again, I don't have any problem with a dude hanging out with dudes.
Of course not.
With him doing it, if his wife's fine with it, but, you know, whatever, do whatever you want. I don't like being bullshitted.
Right. Yes.
And also his public positions on LGBTQ stuff is just horrific. So
right. That's the only reason any of it's a problem. Yes. It's like I was saying earlier. It's like, I don't care if you want to fucking go on Craigslist or the equivalent and meet some dude at a glory hole or whatever, fucking do your thing. But then if you're in daylight, you're talking about how trans people aren't real and gay people shouldn't be able to get married or that type of shit. Then I have that's when I have a problem with you. And it's when it's like appropriate to talk about this shit, you know, like if they weren't like that in the first place, they could do all this shit and it would be fine. But, you know, again, they're the morality police. So like they put it on themselves, you know,
Even in that context, I still think it's a little weird that the AP printed the story, but their basic justification, and they wrote a separate piece talking about why they talked about it. Cause this is behavior that like, is not nearly illegal unless they would unless they said it would be if they had their way. And it's not even considered immoral to a lot of people, except for the fact that he's married. If he was lying to his wife, that's not cool, obviously. But like this story was an open secret in GOP politics. Everybody who worked in GOP politics in Ohio was talking about it. So they're just like, why not let everybody know what the people who are vying to represent them are talking about. So here you go. Right. Right. But it gets really funny because it led to his wife had to put out a statement basically saying that he's straight, which is like, I have a note from my wife saying I'm straight. It's just one of the funniest fucking things that could ever happen.
Yeah. So, I got to take one of those with me when I go back home to Salina and present it at the Rite Aid and stuff.
So their basic explanation for this, and it holds a little bit of water as long as you don't think about it too hard, but they're saying it was a prank by an intern who worked at his car dealership. All right. Now, they got a written statement from the guy who was the intern. His name is Dan Ricci, who said he created the account as part of a juvenile prank. Okay. Coincidentally, he's also a big donor to Moreno's campaign because he's got, you know, since he was an internship at the car dealership, he's leveled up. And so he now can donate $6,600 to Bernie, according to campaign finance records. Now, the thing is, the kind of information this kid would have had to know when he was like a college junior or senior in 2008 about his much older superior at work who owns the car dealership he's interning at. The username was Nardo1967-2. Okay. So the 1967-2 is his birth month and year, 1967, and 2 is February. You also have to know that Nardo, which apparently I didn't know until this, is the Colombian nickname for Bernardo, not Bernie. All right. He would also have to know that, like, because the account was looking for sex in Fort Lauderdale, where Bernie's parents have a house. We'd also have to know where Bernie visits his parents to do this. He'd also have access to the email account to verify the membership. Also, like, an intern was making fun of the guy who owns the car dealership doing a prank.
Right.
Does that make sense? Also,
I guess it depends on his relationship with the owner or whatever. If it was supposed to be like, so basically this guy's story is like, it's the equivalent. It's the modern day equivalent of like going into a truck stop bathroom and writing like, "Hey guys, for a good wiener time, call," and then I put your number on there.
Right.
Like, uh-huh. And then people, like, that's what the guy was doing. But
yeah,
his story is he did it good naturedly. Like, they had a good, like, they're, because if he's coming forward now, like, willingly, it seems like they're like on, you know, they're on friendly enough terms or whatever. So he's saying, he's like, yeah, I just thought it'd be a funny goof. Is that what he's saying? Because, yeah, that's
yeah, a 21-year-old intern.
Right.
Yeah. A 21-year-old intern pranked his 41-year-old rich boss at an unpaid job is the story they're going with.
Yeah.
So, by the way, Ricci was in college 3 hours away. So the part of their story is he was commuting 3 hours each way for an internship. I don't fucking know. I don't care about any of this. But the funny part of this is it kind of fucks Democrats if it works, if it puts Dolan over the top, because they've invested $2.5 million.
Right.
Sure, Moreno is the candidate.
Right.
Ticket. Again, it's a pack called Duty and Country. I spent the $2.5 million on TV ads arguing that Moreno is, quote, too conservative of Ohio, which is one of those bank shot things where
Matt
here and think he's great, but he also cements him as a right wing psycho in the minds of centrist voters. Mike DeWine, the governor who supports Dolan, like I said, complained Thursday that Democrats, quote, "No, Moreno is the weakest candidate to beat Sherrod Brown this fall." So that's why they're doing this. So a lot of rat fucking going on.
Right. So Democrats should hope that this sex scandal glosses over, like smooths over, whatever, because they want the other guy to. No, mm-hmm. No, they want to smooth over because they want this, because they want Moreno to win because he's more beatable. Right. It's in this new era of like backing certain opponents on purpose because you think you can beat them later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a real pick your poison sort of thing to do, because in some races it really works, in some environments it's really destructive.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when I first heard it was a thing, which was in, like, I feel like in the midterms is when I first became aware of it, and I heard they were doing it. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh no. Cause like it just felt to me like the classic type of big Democrat fuck up that would come back to bite them in the ass, like the type of needlessly stupid shit that they do that leads to losing, which is like the story of their life or whatever. But I guess it has actually mostly worked out, or at least in a lot of situations it's worked out, or it's been effective. Well, but sometimes it's like you said, it's dependent on context. But it makes me kind of uncomfortable, the whole thing.
Thanks, Moreno. Mama G. Mama G says, I just checked. Yes, you're right. Moreno was declared the winner. So the Democrat rat fucking worked, and the adult friend finder rat fucking did not work. What you're talking about, like, it just kind of backfired out here in California. We haven't talked about it yet, but like Adam Schiff ran a bunch of ads against Steve Garvey with the same thing, arguing he's too conservative for California, but basically making him the go-to candidate for MAGA people. So what it did was it pushed Steve Garvey, who wasn't even really actively campaigning, into the top two because California is a jungle primary. So it killed Katie Porter's chances. It ensured Adam Schiff will be the senator, but it raised right-wing turnout in a lot of House and state delegate races and pushed a lot of Democrats out of the top two giving the Republicans a chance to take those seats. So
it's, right, which is fucked up. But just to be clear, like that's what Schiff wanted, right? Was to push Katie Porter out of it. Like, wasn't that the whole idea?
Right. It worked. It worked for him, but it fucked the party, and he was going to win anyway. So that's why I was just like, this is just too psychotic by half. So the sad part about Moreno, and now he's a candidate, we can talk to him, talk about him as a candidate in the present tense, is he used to be sane. Like, talking about this one specific issue, LGBTQ stuff. When Cleveland Akron won their bid to host the 2014 Gay Games, which is like an Olympic-like international competition that features gay athletes, Moreno was an enthusiastic supporter, while his auto dealership company was a financial sponsor. Let me quote here, "Successful gay games will go a long way toward boosting our images in cities that welcome all." In 2016, he noted that his eldest son is gay, while he credited the TV show Modern Family with changing perceptions around same-sex marriage. He's on the board of Cleveland State University, and there was an incident in 2017 where somebody posted a bunch of flyers urging gay and trans students to commit suicide, and he spoke up and said that it was a, quote, an attack on our whole campus, called an abhorrent message.
This is this is a good example, like a reminder, not that people need reminding, but a reminder of how we have like backslid recently. Cause like those examples you gave from that from the like late Obama era of like, there was a time, man, I know. Cause I care about this shit. I got a gay uncle. I care about that. Like, growing up in Salina, I never in my life thought I would see gay marriage be legal. I never thought that would happen. And then like, but there was an era post gay marriage being legalized in late Obama where it genuinely did seem like we were moving past that. Not that there wouldn't be other bullshit we would talk about, but we were moving past that. And I feel like that's why this guy at that point in time, guys like this were, you know, coming out publicly in favor of LGBT rights or whatever, because they seemed like that's where the winds were blowing or whatever. And then, you know, they found out about trans people at the same time Trump showed up with his fucking, you know, overt hatred and all that. And then it's just, you know, it's just turned into an abject shit show since then. But it's a stark and an unsettling reminder of like where we were headed and what, you know, the hope we did have and then what has ended up happening.
Yeah, I mean, talk about him personally backsliding. There's a couple other, like he was an advocate for some anti-discrimination legislation that would have covered gays and lesbians and transgender people. But when he first ran for Senate in 2021, he began to distance himself from his past activism and claimed to be unfamiliar with the anti-discrimination legislation he'd been advocating previously. So when I talk about him pretending to be dumber than he is, this is what I'm talking about. So during his current Senate campaign, Moreno has accused advocates for LGBTQ rights of advancing a, quote, radical agenda of indoctrination. He's been endorsed by Ohio Value Voters, a group that opposes gay rights, including same-sex marriage. So he's went from saying, my son's gay, and I'm glad the Modern Family helped people accept it, to being like, my son should not be able to get married. His campaign social media accounts have blasted his opponents, LaRose and Dolan, as supporters of a, quote, radical trans agenda. A recent TV ad paid for by Buckeye Values, it's a Pro Moreno super PAC, superimposed LaRose over a rainbow flag while attacking him as a champion of trans equality. And I just will never understand. Remember, he's independently wealthy.
Right.
He doesn't have to be doing any of this. And I will never understand a person independently wealthy who would sink to doing shit like this. You have this video of him like slobbering all over Trump's asshole from the rally over the weekend, man.
Yeah, well, do people like, you know, wealth is not like, it's power too. Anyway, yeah, play the.
Video. I want to clear something powerful. Up. They're one of a hundred people. The reason I'm trying to leave and run for president is because they finally realize they can't actually do much. It's hard committee work. It's like herding cats and shit. It's like, anyway, go ahead and play the video, man.
I am so sick and tired of Republicans that will say, I support President Trump's policies, but I don't like the man. This is a good man. This is a great American. This man wakes up every day fighting for us, fighting for this country. He loves this country like no other leader.
Even Lindsey Graham doesn't say Trump's a good man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, like, I agree with you. I mean, I've said a million times, if I got, like, I hit a big enough lick or whatever, I'm going to the beach or the mountains or whatever, and that's it for me. But, like, but they want, I don't know, they want adoration. They want, like, he wants to be Trump. Do you know what I mean? He, like, they want an extra degree of attention and respect that comes with having senator in front of your name. Like, they just want to be that person. It doesn't matter that they have the kind of money they have. And I don't care either. Like,
I know that psychological affliction exists. I can't wrap my.
I'm with you.
I always heard the most powerful word in the English language is no.
Right.
Like, having the power to say no to shit. Right. It's like, do you want to do this? No.
Right.
He's asking.
Yes.
The guy who's a millionaire car dealership owner is asking for a job that pays $170,000 a year that requires him to go to VFW halls. And in order to get it, he has to lick Trump's asshole. I understand what you're saying intellectually. It does not make any sense. We need to stop acting like it makes sense.
No, I know. I'm with you. This is like when I ask you to try to make sense of some weird ass talking point or whatever they have, and you're like,
it
doesn't make sense. Like what are you talking about? Like,
yeah,
this is that, but in reverse. Because I totally agree with you. I'm just saying it's how they are, you know, it's how these people are. It's a certain mental affliction that some people have, but anyway,
so the one reason Sherrod Brown is going to have a shot at this and why Democrats are going to make sure he holds onto his Senate seat is, like, it's a statewide race, which means it's still contestable in a state like Ohio, because other seats in Ohio, because of radical fucking gerrymandering, are not. Ohio is otherwise rigged. When we interviewed the guys who were at White Rural Rage a couple weeks ago, and I pulled this quote because I remember reading it. Ohio Republicans who control both the chambers of the state legislature need not worry that their views conflict with the citizenry at large. This academic rates Ohio as the second most gerrymandered state legislature in the nation. Here's a quote. It's a political scientist named David Niven. Ohio has become the Hindenburg of democracy. So we haven't had time to touch on all the corruption shit going on in Ohio, but I have a working theory that Ohio might be America's new most corrupt state. The fallout from this energy scandal, where a nuclear power company essentially paid state officials $60 million to secure $1.3 billion in, like, you know, free money to help prop up their businesses. DeWine's right in the middle of it, but isn't going to be in any trouble. Like, just last week, he came to support of an aide who knew about a $4.3 million payoff the energy company named First Energy paid to the guy that DeWine had put it in charge of the Public Utilities Commission. She knew about it but didn't tell DeWine, and she still has her job, and he's like, that's fucking cool. By the way, she's not talking, so, you know, nobody snitches over there. This is a scandal that's already sent two people to a federal prison and has a bunch of other people awaiting trial. And DeWine is going to escape. See, talking about the MAGA people versus the old guard. DeWine's the old school kind of corrupt.
Right.
Where everything he did, he made sure it was legal. He took campaign contributions, right? He ignored other people taking bribes. He didn't take bribes. He secured a $250,000 contribution to his daughter's failed political campaign for some office she wasn't qualified for, right? And in exchange for those campaign donations, he appointed a guy to be, his name's Sam Randazzo, to be in charge of the state's top energy regulator, whose previous qualification was working for the fucking power company. He'd been on their payroll secretly since 2010. And it's just normal. And you can't vote these motherfuckers out. I mean, DeWine's technically statewide, but, like, it's just like, DeWine has a history of corruption. Let me go back here.
Yep. Jules T on YouTube says Mike DeWine is crooked as fuck. Also, previous guest host and guest Travis Irvine, a big Ohio politics guy, has been pounding the Mike DeWine is a corrupt piece of shit. Been pounding that drum for a long, long time now. So yeah.
So a few months back, the Ohio Capital Journal reported that DeWine's former campaign treasurer compiled a 198-page dossier that detailed why DeWine shouldn't pick notorious lawyer Sam Randazzo to be chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. This guy, Randazzo, was so crooked that a fellow Republican drafted a 198-page dossier on him. Like, he stayed up late writing a term paper about this motherfucker. That's a level of corruption that I can't even fathom. And, like, the FBI is all over this. And, like, I would take it as a personal affront if these guys were just dunking on me like this, just running around being this corrupt. But the FBI is not some great moral institution here, and I feel so weird rooting for the FBI, but the voters have no other fucking recourse.
Right. Well, that's a weird thing that's happened in recent years, too, is like the FBI has become left-coded or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, we were never fucking fans of the FBI or whatever. Like, I always felt a little uncomfortable with, because, you know, they're super cops, right? I always felt a little uncomfortable with them becoming like our heroes and shit during the Mueller investigation and all that stuff. Uh-huh. It's like, I remember when that, when the Clint Eastwood movie Richard Jewell came out, which independently is a great story, and I like that movie, but like, uh-huh. At the time, that movie was painted as like conservative propaganda because it demonized the FBI, which was liberal in nature or whatever. And I was like, what the fuck? We're huge FBI fans? I must have missed that memo. When the fuck did that happen? But yeah, it is weird to be like rooting for the FBI in any scenario. But
it's because corruption is now coded as cool on the right. It's right wing.
Right.
Like if you're like, I don't think a state official should take a $4.3 million bribe to give $1.3 billion. This scandal has cost, on one estimate, it cost Ohio taxpayers. They're still getting the money. First Electric. It cost them like $500,000 a day, every day, ongoing, because it was a bill, it was a law that gave them that money. So they have to pass a different law to stop giving them the money. And they're so corrupt, they're not interested in passing a different law that's going to send a few people to jail. So everybody else keep the gravy train going. Mm-hmm. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw us a couple more things up there, Matt, if you got them. Comments and questions and whatnot. We got 3 minutes left. Carla Barrick says, oh, great. Trying to keep up with old school GOP corruption versus MAGA corruption. Yeah. I mean, I know what you mean. It is like, I saw a clip that was getting recirculated of George W. Bush recently. And when I watched it, my initial genuine reaction was kind of like, man, I kind of wish.
But then
I further thought after that, I was like, dude, at the time, I did not think it was possible for me to hate a politician more than I hated George W. Bush. Like I reviled that man. I was like, there cannot be any worse than this. Like I hated that motherfucker. And they have gotten so goddamn, the bar has dipped so low that I almost get like nostalgic for that. And it's like the Republicans too, of his ilk at the time, they drove me crazy in that time period. But now looking back, I'm like, I kind of miss those guys. like they still didn't hit for me, but I would rather have them here than what we do have here is what I'm saying.
No, you wouldn't. Like, that's how bad. Do you remember the Iraq war, Trey?
Yeah, but like, you don't think Trump is capable of worse than that? He might. I mean, he hasn't yet, but he could kill us all if he gets in there. You know?
I don't. This is like a 5-hour talk. I don't want to. I'm just saying.
The bottom line, like, you don't think that era and that the Republicans cut from that cloth, you don't think that was preferable to what we have right now in the MAGA era? That's all I'm saying.
I think it's all bad. I'm not going to sit here and parse with you whether you're a shit sandwich or a shit taco. It's fucking bad.
Right. I know. But the shit taco is also on fire. Anyway, Carla Bear says, no, Trey. No, I don't. Listen, please don't misunderstand me. George W. Bush don't hit for me. I'm not saying he hits for me. I'm just, all I'm trying to say is like, it's wild how much worse things have gotten. That's all I'm trying to say, because that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. We've had this fight before too.
Mr. Carlucci is a Trey over there saying, wish we had Mitt. I'm not saying I wish Mitt was the president. I'd rather be dealing with Mitt than with Donald Trump, like from the opposing side, is what I'm trying to say. All right.
I think you've memory hole the whole 2012 campaign, but that's a whole other episode. Mitt Romney ran one of the most hateful, dishonest campaigns ever in the history of American politics up until
Red Wave of Ketchup says, smash the like button, kids. That's right. Thank you. Please smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, do all that stuff, rate and review, tell your mom and them. We appreciate it. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I know. I mean, I know how it sounds. I just don't. It doesn't matter. We have to keep going down that road. I just do think things have gotten worse.
I just remember I just moved to Texas right before the 2000 election, and I was waiting tables on the weekends, and it was a guy I would hang out with. I worked at a restaurant too. I happened to be Hispanic, and we were riding around after work one day smoking weed, And he goes, he's just talking about Bush. And he goes, like, he's going to Texify the whole country, man. And he just got real depressed about it. He's going to Texify the whole country. Just like, yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah. Good call. All right. Well, thank y'all for watching. Remind you real quick, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Also, check out me and Corey's book on there. And go to weeklyskews.com/more. And sign up on the Patreon there, and $5 a month, you get full-length bonus episodes. You support the show and get more SKUs in your life. We would appreciate it. But the main thing is, keep watching this here show on SKUs, D's, and we'll keep doing it. We'll see you in 7 days. Love you. Bye.